WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We do a lot of sports around here. We do some politics, we do some business, we do some local business, and we do some rock and roll from time to time. My almost famous days as a music critic back in the 1980s and the 90s, and from time to time, I get a gift given to me. Andy Summers is playing at the Strand in the Appel Center for the Arts up in York, Pennsylvania on Thursday night for my birthday, by the way. It's October the 12th. He will be there. He's out on tour, out on the road without the rest of La Policia and doing a spoken word tour, singing some songs, showing some art, showing his photography off. And I had the occasion many, many years ago. And I would say it's one of the top five experiences of my lifetime of singing a couple songs with Andy Summers in the famous Bodeguita del Medio in Havana, Cuba. In 1999, I was on an Orioles trip. He was on a cultural exchange trip with a whole bunch of very, very famous musicians from all over the world doing music with Cubans. He's now doing music in York, Pennsylvania. Andy Summers, you're coming to York, Pennsylvania. Welcome back into my life, and certainly welcome back into the lives of anybody who's loved your music. I know this is a celebration of your art and a whole lifetime of doing a whole bunch of things, right?
Well, I'll just try to get through the show, mate. That's all. I'm trying not to blow it.
Well, how can you blow it? You put this thing to you. You can't mess it up, right? I mean, it's a solo act.
No. I'm pretty good on the guitar, but it's quite technical. We have three computers running, you know, to put this stuff on the big screen. Lots of cues, lots of little things. I mean, we're getting there. You know, we've kind of built our techno chops up over the time we've done this. And it's getting pretty slick. I'm lucky I work with a very clever guy who's the sort of opposite to me. He's very tech, but he's got it sorted. And now we're at the process where it's working really well. And now we're just trying to refine it, see if we can have less equipment, make it smaller. But it's very good. I'm very pleased. It's a multimedia show. Surprising thing is it took me so long to get around to combining the photography with the guitar playing. But yeah, it's going down very well everywhere. And, you know, I open my mouth a lot and talk to the audience quite a lot.
Well, I mean, there is a point where you want some storytelling, right? The night I met you, your association to one of the greatest bands ever and the music you make that's ubiquitous to our lives, right? I mean, everybody would, if they run into you, they want to say something about Sting or Stewart or a song, right?
Yeah, they do, but I don't. we've got some stuff in there. I think people are very happy with it. I mean, we usually get them all out of their seats and up at the stage at the end.
Well, so for you to put the concept together, what in your mind you wanted this to be like? What or something you had seen?
I thought it should be a pretty arty show, and it was different. We're lucky. Let's say not unfortunately, but fortunately, there's an elephant in the room, and it's hard to ignore, you know. In other words, they want to hear some Police stuff. So I've craftily got some in the show, but they're beautifully presented because, you know, they've never been seen like this. You know, I made some new videos and I selected certain kinds of photography that really work very well with the song. So I've been selective about it. So I feel two things. They work. You know, we've built them to a place where it's a nice thing. And also, it keeps people happy. You know, they expected me to do something like that. But I'm slightly changing the context of the song. So, yeah, it's going really well. That's all I can tell you. It's more for me is like, do you want to keep doing this? Do you want to keep going on the road? Or is this enough now? Yeah, I'm thinking about it, you know, like.
Well, I mean, you were on the road a lot as a young man. And then, you know, your band famously didn't do this so much anymore. I was there back in 06 when you put the band back together in Vancouver. I was there the first night.
Yeah.
I mean, I love your band and I love the one experience I have with you other than this one, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes in your Cuba trip and how we wound up in the same room together. But the notion that anyone, I mean, I see Bruce Springsteen, I see people, anyone who's older than me, and I turned 55 this week, and I know what, if I'm in Arlington, Texas right now on the road with a baseball team, right? So I know what the road can do, that you choose to do this when it's probably not a financial endeavor in your part, more of an art, more of something for enjoyment.
It's something,
right?
That I realized that I wanted to do, you know, because I had something around like 60 photo exhibitions, museum shows all over the world. You know, I've had a very good shot with it. I've made 5 books. The latest one is out now. You know, it hasn't been a barren existence. It's been plenty of it. Most of us haven't been out on the road for 3 years. So I'm like a lot of people sort of returning and trying it. And, you know, I mean, basically the great bit is when I'm on stage. That's it. Then the rest can be a little bit of a grind, which I'm not so up for. But the way I've done this tour is I usually go out and do about 7 or 8 shows. Then I come home for a bit. Then I go out and do another little bunch and then come home. So it's not like life on the road forever, a year at a time or anything. That's what we used to do. It was incredible. I mean, I've basically been on the road all my life. And I don't want to do that anymore. So, you know, without the breaks, because, you know, it's like choose your area, see how many shows you can get there and let's do that, you know, and that's kind of what we're doing. And we're getting better at it. We've sort of tightening up the whole way of traveling, you know, the amount of equipment we have to go with, the shows together musically and logically. So, you know, you sort of have a show in mind and you're in your studio and you're isolated. Then you go out and you play in front of the first audience and it's a complete shock because you've probably got everything wrong. And then on you go and you refine it. And, you know, I can see from where we were to where we are now is a big jump.
So what we're seeing is different than it would have been if we'd seen it earlier and better in your mind.
Oh, it's
the
better
Strand
because,
this week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the technology changed. We've been able to do things. I'm not playing with guitar amplifiers on stage now. It was so loud. I've removed those. I have in-ears and I can balance the whole thing personally. So it's louder out front. But for me, I'm, you know, like all musicians, I have to watch my ears, my hearing. But, you know, that's a real kind of, it feels like a technical revolution to me that I'm doing all this electric guitar stuff and no guitar amplifiers. We're getting somewhere now.
Andy Summers is here, of course, the legendary guitarist and Hall of Famer from The Police. He'll be at the Strand in the Appel Center for the Arts up in beautiful York, Pennsylvania. Encourage everybody, beautiful little downtown area in York. Go up, take advantage on Thursday night. On Friday, I'm at Drug City. On Sunday, we're doing our Ravens games. It's my birthday celebration. Andy, you and I got together, and I remember it as one of the greatest experiences of my life. I went to Havana, Cuba, doing baseball. And I strolled into a bar and Woody Harrelson was in the bar. You were there with the great, late, great Patty Maloney of the Chieftains. I recently saw another artist who was on that junket down the Cuba, but Mick Fleetwood, there were so many artists. Jimmy Buffett, who just passed recently, was a part of that as well. Speak to 1999 in Cuba and what in the world you were doing in a bar and how we wound up singing three songs together.
Yeah, well, it was a marvelous thing. And I think the guy, this gentleman, I can't remember his name now. I think he did this 3 times in the queue, you know, where he went to another culture. Maybe there's one in Europe. And he did one somewhere else. But I think the Cuban one was the big one. There was about 50 of us that traveled to Cuba. You know, we got over to the East Coast, and I think we all flew out from Miami for obvious reasons, close. And what happened was that we got there, and, you know, none of us really knew what was going on, and we were on the Hotel Nacional. And the way they did it, actually, was they would pair one of us American or Western musicians up with a Cuban, and then you'd see what you could make together. So it was literally all the names on pieces of paper and a hat, and it was somebody was, you know, we had a big meeting in the morning in the courtyard of the hotel, and they would play these bits of paper. And I can't remember the guy's name now, but I got lucky because I got paired up with this guy who had a 16-piece band, and he was the sort of, you know, he did soul funk, and it was like the James Brown of Cuba. And it was like, I had a great guy. And so I sort of had the advantage over everyone. Most of them were like folk singers, and it was like folk singer with folk singer. This guy was, okay, you know, but I had this powerhouse. Yeah,
but it was by luck of draw. It was not
luck of draw. No, I didn't pick it.
I've spent 25 years believing that they purposely paired you up with people, that it wasn't random.
Yeah, no, it was random. And I got the guy, and he was like the James Brown guy. he came to me in a giant lime green Cadillac. He had a cowboy hat on, and he had a studio. It's a real scene. But because we had the big band, I got to end the show of the whole thing. No one could compete with us, really. So we wrote a song, got it to the band, and we were the last thing on the show. And then they sort of pulled everybody on. Then we had a big, very deluxe dinner, you know, banquet, which you go, how could you do this in Cuba? It's not possible. Of course, it was all government stuff. And we all lined up, and I met Castro, Fidel Castro, and I had picked up a little book in the market. Cuba is a very literary place. They have books everywhere. I can't remember the name of, you know, it's a little red and black leather book I picked up in the market, and it was something like My Journey. That's not quite right, but something like that, by Fidel Castro. And so I had it in my pocket, and I went up to Castro, who's about 6'6", gigantic guy, and he had two guards with him, of course, you know, and I pulled out my book. And then they said no. They sort of pushed their guns at me. So I'm okay, sorry, and went back and sit down. And then this girl came up to me who was somehow involved within the official stuff. She said, give it to me, I'll get him to sign it. And so he wrote a very nice note to me, like it says, "Por Andy in fraternidad, you know, Fidel Castro." So that's where I felt like I was the only one out of the whole bunch of us. I got it, you know, and I still have it. So I was.
But you had a gun held on you for it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I risked death.
Well, I don't know what you were doing in Bodeguita do Medio that night, and we wound up next to each other. And Woody Harrelson is the one that really convinced you to do this, to pick up the guitars. I have the story from the three people that were with me that night in 1999, and I found the audio tape, and I'm going to present that for my audience to tell the story as we told it 2 days after we got back from Cuba, and I had not listened to it in 25 years of this evening. And the guys swear that you and Patty bought Polaroid pictures from the man on the street that comes in and takes your picture for you, that you have pictures of this somewhere. But you and I did three songs together that night, and you were very, very magnanimous. And I think the drinks were flowing, at least as we went back and told the story. It was a pretty good time. You look like you're having a good time there.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, I got to say. And, you know, it was weird with Woody. It turned out he lived two doors down from it, at least it was, in Santa Monica in California, you know, Los Angeles. So we got to really hang out and spend some time together in the way that you might imagine.
I held Woody's bag inside. Woody went take a walk in the out in the alley, and I'm like, man, Woody, I can't be the guy holding your passport.
He's out there. Woody's a brave guy.
But back to your show and coming out. And again, I waited a lifetime to say thank you. So
on
behalf of me and my friends that night for giving me a memory, it's the greatest cocktail story I have, that I sang three songs and you let me be Sting in the band for 10 minutes. So it literally is. And I have photographic evidence, and I now have you admitting that it really happened. So it did happen.
Yeah. Good, man. That's right. It's nice to have some memories like that.
To your show and taking pictures and traveling, and this, you said we haven't been on the road in 3 years. You're seeing a different world post-COVID through your lens and what you want to capture. And I would think the bad hotels, the bad flights, the connections, the crazy guys you sang songs with that want you on their podcast and all of that. The part of it for you is everywhere you go, there is art for you, right? And it's sort of like eating for me. I can go to Texas, and even if I don't like Texas, I can eat the barbecue and say I had a decent time and go home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an idle person, you know, and I do photography, and, you know, travel is a great stimulant. I mean, we've been in 3 days of filming, but, you know, I've, of course, got my cameras with me, my Leicas, and here we are, as you see. Never a dull moment. But this is what you do. You know, we were out last night shooting up in East Village. That was fun. I like the East Village these days.
Well, thanks for coming on. Please wrap up. I know your time is valuable and you're getting ready. You're probably going to have a lot of talking on stage.
I'm going to pack up and get out of here. We're leaving in half an hour or two. We're going to drive up to Albany. We've got a nice vehicle. And the filming guy is coming with me. And I'm back on stage tonight.
Well, Take care of yourself. Take care of your voice. I hope to see you on Thursday night at the Strand when you come in. And you gave me one of the great memories of my life, Andy Summers. When people ask me about Andy Summers, I'm like, Andy Summers is a good dude.
All right, man.
Thank
you
very much.
We're all doing our best. Yeah. I'll see you.
All appreciate right, you. Thank you so much. Andy Summers joining us here from the police to you and from Arlington, Texas, back home as well, and having some fun around here with a little bit of rock and roll memories, even though the Orioles season is over. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.